This is the Church of God of Carmichael Sunday Morning Gospel Podcast.
And we're going to read this verse first, and then I'll let you be seated, and then we have a text that we're going to go to here in a moment. Luke 14:23 is where we finished up service, and I'd like to bring us back to that. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 14. This passage we shared with you was instruction to his disciples and another of his stories about the kingdom of God and how he was asking them to go out and make disciples. And they did so, and they said, they're still not coming. There's still room. The servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commandment, and yet there is room. And we know this is referring to the message that Jesus has for the world and whether or not we're able to find people that are interested. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste. In other words, we have to be hungry and thirsty for righteousness, don't we? He says that in Matthew. And we're seeking those that are hungering and thirsting after righteousness, even in the world today. And when you find one, it's such a blessing. It's a thrill to find someone who's seeking, hungering, and thirsting after righteousness. But today, we are in the highways and hedges. We are beyond the suburbs of our spiritual zip code. We're beyond that today. And that means we all are to be in the highways and hedges, beyond the streets and the lanes of the city. And so with that in mind, we also are reminded that we're in an area of the country, the spiritual country, where there's a lot of pain and suffering, people that are hurting, people that are bruised and injured by sin. And that is the area of the spiritual country. And so those are the thoughts that we're going to be going to, because those areas are where we'll be finding people injured by sin in need of spiritual, and those in need of spiritual healing will benefit from this community and your part in it. That's why we need to know what our part in it is, and we need to know the value of the community that we're part of in the healing of those that are in those highways and hedges. Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for your help to us this morning. We pray that you continue to guide our thoughts, bless each one. Lord, deliver the message to the heart, and then whether that person is here or not here, that Father, your message can go beyond even the reach of our voice. It can go into spiritual highways and hedges, places where people are suffering. Father, in need of a great healer. And so our prayer this morning is, instruct us, give us wisdom, that we might be found in that place, effective in your service. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. We won't rehearse everything that we said Thursday night, but three things that we said were important in community is a common idea that binds us together. The second were shared interests and concerns. And the third is there needs to be stability in order for us to be effective. Common idea is Jesus said, if I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Amen. That common idea is Christ, and we need to make it very important in the day that we live. The common idea is more than just a knowledge of Jesus, but it transforms us into the way we live every day, doesn't it? And in that, we love to live holy, not because we have any self-righteousness, but because we know the great benefit that comes from living according to God's word. That's the common idea. It creates in us shared interests and concerns, and we're speaking about that this morning. We care about what's lost in the highways and hedges. That creates a common interest and a concern, so we are interested in going out and being effective. We're not comfortable when we don't see men and women brought into this great feast, are we? Not comfortable, not content that, well, we got ours, I hope they get theirs. Not content with that. Want to see people come in and get theirs as well. Amen? shared interests and concerns identify community. And there has to be stability in the community, families and people prosper. Stability is a very important thing. We didn't touch on it all that much, and I'm rehearsing what we said. Stability creates the ability to grow. You can see it in nature. If a hurricane is passing through the land and the winds are so strong that branches are breaking and the tree is bending and perhaps it's almost uprooted, that tree is not going to thrive. It's going to wait until the winds are done before it can settle and grow. It's the same with people. A community needs to be stable in order to thrive. If it is troubled, worried about what's behind the next corner, it's not going to thrive and it won't be effective in its mission. The same is true for people and families. We need to have a measure of stability in this. We can't be up one day and down the next, can we? I mean, that doesn't help us to thrive. That creates a worry in us. Families need. Mom and dad need to be grounded and settled in the truth so their children know, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Now, I realize it's not always that way. Sometimes situations change and we do the best we can. But that's the ideal. That's the community God has designed for us. All right. And for my part, if I'm the only one that can be grounded and settled, if I'm the only one that can be stable, then as the brother preached a couple of services, you'll find me in the gap. That's where you'll find me. And then those that depend on me, they will know that I am stable. Otherwise, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Water is unstable. But God has a stable people. He can create a stable person. Well, it begins with this spiritual healing. That's where all of these things... I thought there's three things when we talk about healing, and I'd like to share these thoughts with you. If somebody is not well, if they have some kind of malady, a malady is just a word for an injury or an illness or some condition that's troubling them, there first needs to be a recognition and a diagnosis of the malady. Okay? That's the first thing that needs to happen. Second thing, once you recognize it, unless you treat it, then you're worse off than you were before. You understand what's wrong with you, but if you can't treat it, or you're unwilling that it should be treated, then it creates a worse problem for you. So first is this diagnosis, second is the treatment, and the third obviously is the recovery from whatever the malady is. Now in that recovery, and in these three things, community is just as important as my understanding of my problem. God has designed it so that church as community is to be used and helpful in these three. If we were just a collection of people, individuals, and we come to church, we hear a message, we rejoice, we sing a song, and we go out, and we do this week in and week out, and somebody is sitting near you, or somebody in your life is near you, and you figure, well, the Lord will help them, or somebody else will help them, well, then that may never happen. That may never happen. And in that way, my part in the community is not being fulfilled. I have a part to play. I have a role. We each need to know where we fit into the community of Christ. We need to know how we work in the community of Christ. We need to know, I've said before, we need to know what our gift is. Yeah. I believe the Lord gives gifts in the body as it pleases Him. And the pastor doesn't have all the gifts. There's one, there's two. There's no need for the pastor to have all the gifts because the body is available to have gifts. And it's more than just a community of one. And this isn't news to us. He tells us about how the body works. And so there are various parts of the body, and they're all intended to, this community is intended to help heal. And so we need to know, what is my gift? I wonder if some of us have a gift which has been dormant for many, many years, because we really haven't even prayed and asked the Lord, what is my place in the body? Another message is, are we givers or are we takers? There are times more than others where we might be in need and we might need help. But there comes a time when we should be expected to give. The Lord loves a child. So what is your place? What are you giving to the one who's injured in the highways. And all right. The wonderful thing about recognition, and we're going to a text here in a moment, and diagnosis of an illness, is that when we know that there's something wrong with us, we want to go to a place where someone will help us. If you're not well, and you go to a place or a person, and that person condemns and criticizes you and says, now take care of your business. When you leave, how do you feel? Answer, not very good. You say, well, I'm glad I went there. I didn't know what was wrong with me before, and I still don't know what's wrong with me now, but I know there's something wrong with me because he told me so. Okay, we're going to work. But the wonderful thing is, when we want to be healed, Jesus said he came not to judge and condemn. And now, I'm just giving you what the gospel said, but he said he came to heal. Now, there is a day and time when the judge will come. But if I'm not well, I need to be healed. If I can't be healed, then it's a very unfair God that we serve that later would judge us if I could never be healed. And it is true, there are times when somebody won't accept the diagnosis or the recognition of the malady. It is true. Sometimes people won't accept it. But first, they need to be made aware. They need to know, what is it that's going on here? And the wonderful thing is God will show. Sometimes we're unaware of our condition. But the wonderful thing about that is there is one who knows us better than we know ourselves. Amen? And if you're a seeker of truth, what you don't know about yourself, the Lord will, because he's faithful. Amen. These are wonderful promises. Sometimes we're unaware of our condition or how to relieve the malady or what contributes to it. And we need to be willing to accept the diagnosis. Sometimes somebody tells you hard news and you don't want to hear it because it's hard news. But if we want truth, the wonderful thing is he'll tell us the truth. He won't lie to us. He won't say you're okay when you're not okay. The Lord will help us understand what's wrong with. Now, this is not a message just about what's wrong with people. It's a message about healing. So first, if someone is to be healed of something, they need to know that there's something that is creating a problem. Now let's go to Mark chapter 2, and this will be our text. And we referred to this as well. This story that I think Brother Andy preached on recently. And again, Mark chapter 2. Jesus entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. Is Jesus in the house? I think it's been noised this morning that Jesus is in the house. It's good to noise that Jesus is in the house so that someone who needs to be healed will know that that's where you can go to be healed. If I need a physician to heal me of a certain thing, let's say it's a very specific thing, I need to know the address and I need to know the name on the door that I'm at a place where I can be healed. That's why it's good to come to this house with a noise that Jesus is in the house. And it's not just a shout, but there is a spirit that comes in. This noise, a spirit that comes in that Jesus is in the house. And it only comes in when you bring it in. He said that if I'm not welcome, he instructed his disciples to even shake the dust out of their feet, off their feet, and take the peace with them that they brought with them if they're not welcome. There are places where Jesus is not welcome and his spirit cannot abide. That's why if Jesus is in you, bring him into the house. Bring him with you. Bring him with you into the service. Bring him with you into the house. That when someone is sick, they know it's noised that Jesus is there. Amen. Well, straightway, many were gathered together insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. The reason this house was so full was because it was noise that he was there. A lot of people came. I'm wondering if a lot of people didn't know him, weren't, in our words today, they weren't. They were interested, they were curious. This is what we need. It's not a bad thing to have every bench filled with sinners. We should rejoice if every place is taken with sinners. Amen. People with tattoos all over them. People with rings in their noses, in their ears, in their cheeks. people with colored, different color hair. Amen. Amen. That's what came into Capernaum into the house. Amen. Does that bother anybody? You say, well, that's what I work with. That's what's out there. That's out there, but that's not what's supposed to come in here. That is what's supposed to come in here. Come on. Come on. That's what's in the highways and the hedges, right? Bless the Lord. Yes. Attitudes, doubts, atheists, agnostics. That was what came into the house. People that didn't believe, that's what came into the house. Amen. Don't be afraid. That's why stability is important. Because when that comes into the house, the stability is what creates the atmosphere. The Lord is what creates the atmosphere there. That's why we need to bring God into the house. And when the highways and the hedges meet with us, don't be afraid. And it might be that way for a very long time if we're successful. It could be for months and weeks, and beyond that, there could be people filling the benches that are like, that's what's supposed to happen. And some will be converted. That's what's supposed to happen. But how can they be converted if they don't hear? And how can they hear if they don't come? And how can they come unless they're invited from the highways and the hedges? And who will invite the sick but the community? And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which is born of four. And I in my mind's eye, I think of four men carrying this man on a litter, a kind of bed, a mat. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. They had broken it up. They let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. The palsy was a paralytic. He couldn't walk. So in our words today, he would be a person who was paralyzed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And we're going to pause here for a minute because it goes on. In order for a physician to know how to treat a malady or an illness or something like that, they need to first know what the need is. They need to know what it is. What are your symptoms? And so a misdiagnosis can fail to address the problem. Or even make it worse. This man couldn't walk. He was a paralytic. He was paralyzed. You would say, brother, it's pretty clear he was paralyzed. That's what his need was. He needed to walk. Jesus didn't really need to know why he was paralyzed, because he could make him walk no matter what the cause was. But as we go on, I'm going to ask you to consider what his real need was. Because first, in order to be healed, spiritually healed, we need to know the cause. We need to know what's wrong. As a community of healing, as a member of the body of Christ, if I am the physician, I am the one who has been called to help someone, I need to know what's the cause of the spiritual malady. Sin is like a paralysis in this regard. It's kind of like palsy. But we need to know what's the cause. Lots of different things cause sin. Someone might have a very specific need, and that's what they want to be. He was paralyzed. It mattered to Jesus what this man's for a certain reason. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. For there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? Immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason these things in your heart? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise from thy bed, take thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take thy bed and go thy way into thy house. Immediately he rose, took the bed, went forth before them all. They were all amazed, gave God glory. There comes a time when we need a diagnosis, what's wrong with us spiritually. We need to be willing to receive the diagnosis. How many people today will not receive the diagnosis? This is more than just, I need a Band-Aid. I need some tonic to solve my present condition. It's more than that. We need to know if a person is lost in sin, they need to know what's going on. Now, here's another thing. A person is saved, they know God, But God wants to, God wants to reveal something further to us. And he's trying to give us a diagnosis. He's trying to help us recognize what's going on. Are we ready to receive it? Are we willing to receive it? We say, no, brother, I've already been healed from sin. And so I know what the Lord's plan is. And so I'm okay. Sometimes that's as much of a problem as a person who is in sin will not receive it. To say, I'm all right, I have no need of further help, I'm okay. So many times, the help that we need is going to come from somebody else. And if we're unwilling to receive the diagnosis from that person, we have a problem. Because if the Lord wants to use that person to help us, then we cannot be healed because we're unwilling to receive the diagnosis. Now, it's true that we have to compare the Word and the Spirit with whatever we're told. But sometimes even that comparison is hindered because we have some bias in our mind about that person. I'm interested in healing this morning, and I'm interested in the community of healing that we're all part of. The first thing is there are some today that will not accept the diagnosis, or they'll disregard the diagnosis. Some people come to the conclusion, I'm willing to live with this malady, this illness or this condition. I'm willing to live with it because to solve it is too hard. When it comes to a spiritual problem that the Lord can heal, I don't believe anything is too hard for God. I was thinking about it last night and just appreciating, as the brother said, appreciating so much salvation. Because I want to tell you something. Satan is so wicked. He hates people so much that he'll take darkness and pretend it's light. He'll take a person and interfere with their search for truth. I mean, that's wicked. I'm not even talking about what he puts out in popular culture to attract people. I like this idea. If we have a cup in the 23rd Psalm and it's filled with whatever the Lord has given us, Satan's desire is to empty the cup. That's what's his job. His job is to empty you. To empty you of joy, empty you of faith, empty you of belief, empty you of happiness. That's Satan's job. He's an emptier. He's a taker. He's not a giver. That's the nature of evil. Evil takes. It doesn't give. But I'm constantly reminded, my cup, why does my cup run over? Because God is a giver. And he gives more than we, if we're willing to accept. But first, we need to be willing to accept the diagnosis, whatever it is, so that we can get the treatment that we stand in need of. And then God can give and give and give and give. And our cup flows over. And then we have something for somebody else. But if I've, and by the way, as time goes on, I need to spend what the Lord has given me. And there's a little bit less. And unless I go back to the well to have it refilled, after a while, it's pretty low. Doesn't mean that you've sinned. Means you haven't gone back to the well often enough. Because every day we go out there, we have to compete with evil. We have to confront it. And that takes a little bit more every day. And if you're not going back to the well, your cup is way down. And then when Satan sees how low your cup is and that it's not being refilled, then he'll find a way to empty it out. Now your cup is empty and you need more and it's not being refilled. How discouraging. That's why we need to go back to the well often. Daily, he said. Sometimes we need help. That's where community, right? Stay with me. Once we know the diagnosis of our problem, and our problem before we know the Lord is sin. This young man was a sinner. Do you understand that? He was a paralytic. He was paralyzed, and he was a sinner. He was not a saint. He might have not even believed. His faith might have been really low. He might have had nothing in his cup. He was a sinner. How do you know that, brother? Because Jesus forgave him of his sins. That's how I know he was a sinner. And he couldn't walk. He had a spiritual need and a physical need. It was important to Jesus to know his spiritual condition, even before he healed him. It was important for that man, but it was also even more important for the people that were in the room. First thing is, accept the diagnosis. If God shows you something, be willing to accept the diagnosis. You might say, brother, that's self-evident. But look, there are many things even in our physical self where we know we need to change. Now I'm going to make enemy. Sometimes it's hard. When you get older, it's hard to change your physical body, even though. And you know that if you did this or that, or you stopped doing this or that, it would be better for you. One of my loved ones told me recently, it doesn't seem like the Lord wants us to get old. It seems like medical science has played a cruel joke on us. It helps us to live longer, but it hurts a lot. Our bodies just, they hang on, but it hurts to get. That's what my loved ones told. Sometimes if we make changes, it won't hurt so much. I might be in your highway and your hedge, but I'm trying to accept the diagnosis. Sometimes if we make changes, it don't hurt so. But it's hard, you know, because when we get up the next morning, we're the only one taking care of us, and we have choices, and we can either choose this or choose that. Sometimes it's hard. But we know the diagnosis. We know what we're supposed to do, but it's hard. We don't. That's the way it is sometimes in our spiritual life with people. We know what we're supposed to do, but sometimes people don't, because the flesh wants something else. There were disciples in the garden, and they fell asleep when Jesus was praying, and he said, "Can't you wait with me an hour?" And he said, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Sometimes the flesh won't cooperate. But I want to tell you something. There comes a day in this day that we're living in the culture that we're living in, we need to cooperate when the Lord tells us we need to make some change. Even though the flesh doesn't want it, the spirit needs to cooperate. Because evil is so strong and so present today. We can't let it put us to sleep. We can't let it numb us. We can't play along with it. We can't say a little bit of this, a little bit of that. God help. It's almost to where Satan doesn't even disguise himself anymore. You go on the computer, he's not disguising himself anymore. He used to hide in places where it was a little bit harder to get a hold of. Now he's come forward. He's come right present. And he said, "Here I am. Are you gonna come with me? Here I am. Here's what I offer." And so because evil is so present today, we can't be like, "Well, I'll get to it someday. I'm doing better." I really don't think it's helpful to tell yourself you're doing better when it involves sin. There's no such thing as doing better. It's not helpful. You won't get free. It's like a rocket that escapes Earth's gravity. It has to get to escape velocity. Otherwise, gravity pulls it back down. It's got to go fast enough to get out of this atmosphere. To get out of sin, there comes a time where you've just got to accelerate out of sin. You can't stay in it. You can't play with it. You can't fiddle with it. Accept the diagnosis. The same comes true even if we're saved. If there's a condition in our life that we're living with, and the Lord has said, "You need to break free of this," then think of it as I need to accept velocity to get out of this. Don't fiddle with it. Don't hang with it. Accept the diagnosis to get free. Amen. Allow the Lord to treat you. He's a wonderful physician. This man, he couldn't walk, could he? There's no way he could have found Christ in this room full of people by himself, could he? He needed at least four people to get him there. That's what I call a community. We are the four people. We are the four people. You see how this fits? A community that treats the and it wasn't his neurological condition that Jesus was most interested in. To him, that was a no-brainer. That was easy. I can heal your physical problem. It was his spiritual condition. The man was a sinner. He was separated by more than just a roof and the crowd from the man below. He could have been a universe away because of sin that separated him from what was below. And so when they took the roof off and they lowered him down to be next to Christ, he was still a universe away until Jesus. Now, the people were there wondering if he was going to tell the man to get up and walk. That's why he was there. They saw the roof open. They saw the man come down. They knew this guy. He couldn't walk. And the first thing Jesus said is, "Not get up and walk, but your sins are forgiven." And they all say, the religious ones said, "Who can say that but God alone? This man blasphemes," right? So his purpose in dealing with the physical problem was not just that the man could walk. It's that everybody else in the room would know that he was. That was the purpose. Our purpose, we are the four. Our purpose is not just that someone could get up and walk, although we would want that. Our purpose is first to know that God is in the room. Because if the physical man is not going to be healed, and we would that it would, at least we want the spiritual man to be healed, and that first. And so this was his treatment of the condition And it's what the community participated in. If the man does not get up and walk out of the house, even though Jesus said your sins are forgiven, what do people think? You follow what I'm saying? If the man doesn't get up and walk, Jesus said your sins are forgiven, how are they going to know that he has authority to forgive sin? How would they know? They challenged him. They said, only God can do this. How would they know? See, he's diagnosing the man's true condition, and he's treating the most important need. And he needs that man to be cleansed. That's the first thing that needs to happen. He needs the man to be cleansed of his spiritual problem. And so he deals with that. He has power to heal whatever our spiritual need is. And he says, your sins are forgiven. That now creates unity between Jesus and the man. But nobody else knows. See, Jesus is also thinking about community. Because if it was just him in the room, and he really could care less about everybody else, he would say, your sins are forgiven. And he might even said, rise up and walk, as if no one were there. But that was not the only reason why this was happening. There's two things. One, he's trying to create community among those who did not believe. And the second is, the community that did believe is working with him for the healing of the injured. So if he were truly God and he could forgive his sins, couldn't he also heal his paralysis? And that's why he said, why reason ye these things in your heart, whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up, take thy bed, and walk? I can do both of those things. Neither one is harder than the other for me. I can do both of them. But that you might know that I have power to forgive sins on earth, I'm going to show you my power by raising him up and making him walk. It was not so much that he could be healed of his paralysis, but that they would see that he had power to forgive sins. And that's the important message for community. We have to be present. We have to be witnesses by the way we live that Christ is in the community. And we're a part of the community that Christ is in. Now, this is not just by showing up to church, is it? Last night, what did you do? Are your hands still clean this morning? Are your hands still clean? Or are you carrying guilt in your heart this morning? Are you waiting for the end of the service for an altar call to get your hands clean? And if the Lord has diagnosed a condition, then I would recommend that you do so. And there's no shame in that. That would be the rational thing to do. But you see, part of the issue here is that the community that we're part of, it needs to be more than just a witness of saying amen in the bench on Sunday morning. Last night, I'm still clean. Yesterday, I'm still clean when none of you were here. The day before, during the day, all during the day, not just until I got home from work, but even after I got home from work in the home, I'm still clean. The Lord still accepts my witness. Amen. Now, don't go out of here saying, well, brother, the Lord convicted me, I'm going to make some changes. Don't go out of here. Satan, that's what Satan loves for you to say. That's why I say, accelerate into this community. Don't play with wickedness in popular culture. This is how Jesus treated the man's condition of sin. He's no longer a sinner. He says, both kinds of healing, I can do those both. I have authority for both. Neither one of those is too hard for me. The man came in to walk. And in doing so, the community got it. They knew what was going on. They were part of it. The Lord knows our treatment. And then the role of the community in the recovering and the healing of the man. When we treat a malady, we need to give ourselves time to recover. There needs to be recovery. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm sick and I can't get out of bed, I like it. I like it when my wife nurses. My dad and I were like that. We're big babies. I think the wives like it maybe when the husbands, when we're not well, when we've suffered with something, we like to be. I think I'm right. That's part of being a nurse, right? You know, you just don't go to have a doctor treat you, and then they leave you in bed for the next week, and then somebody comes in and says, okay, time to leave. Part of the healing. Now, do you understand this? Part of the healing of the person that's been injured is they get nursed back to health. That's a tremendous part of the healing. That's one of the reasons why pain management is so important today. Didn't used to be when I was a little kid. if pain was off your rocker, well, out of the stratosphere, well, then you just lived with it. And sometimes it took a lot longer to heal because of that. But they discovered that if you manage pain and you keep it under control, sometimes you can heal faster and better. So even after you're diagnosed, even after you're treated, there needs to be a recovery involving healing, involving somebody else. Time for healing. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're just about done. The healing of the community. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse... Now, Paul was dealing with a bunch of problems in Corinth. And there was division there. Division hinders healing. Division is pain. What's your pain level? 12. That means you need immediate attention, because unless you get that pain down, it's going to be harder for you to heal. What's your pain level right now? Oh, it's a 1. This congregation, their pain level was like a 10. Things were not getting better. And division was causing a hindrance in the healing of individuals and the community. And Paul was addressing it. He was diagnosing it, and he was telling them what the treatment was. But here in this verse, he said, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. This is one of their divisions, is they weren't doing things in unity. For this cause, the cause of disunity, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep, or many are dying because of this cause. And he was diagnosing it. I wonder if they accepted his diagnosis. I don't think so. Because history records later, even after Paul, that Clement, for one, wrote a letter to these people, and in his time, they had the same problem that Paul had diagnosed. The letters that the Lord wrote the churches in the Revelation, and he told them how to fix their problem. And within a generation or two, many of those congregations didn't exist anymore because they wouldn't accept the diagnosis. Saints, if the Lord tells us something, we need to accept the diagnosis. And he'll give us the treatment. And sometimes it's not always doesn't feel all that good. But we need to accept it and take it. Because the day that we live in is even worse than theirs. But the community at that point is very important in our... That means I need to take my part in the community so I can be part of the healing. And he said, because of the problem, people are dying where you... The community of healing is important to those who are... It's my obligation as part of the body of Christ that I'm part of the healing and not part of the problem. Now, the Lord might, he might suggest as to the paralytic, he might have told the paralytic, not now. Not everyone in Jesus' day was healed of a malady. There were other paralytics, and they stayed paralytic. There were others that had serious illnesses, and they died. Not everyone. But the point is, the power of Christ was present where healing was required. And most of all, the Spirit. He never fails. Galatians 6, chapter 1. Bless the Lord. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, anybody here spiritual? And you can say, Lord, be in my helper. Restore such a one in the spirit of meek. Consider yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, because we're a community. Are we healers? The Lord is the physician. Are we the nurses? As we go out in the highways and hedges and we seek those that are broken and lame and halt and suffering, amen? Are you willing to nurse those? Are you willing to invite them? Are you already part of a community of healing? Or in your house, is there such upset and such turmoil and such rancor and such... And the Lord can heal? That's why I say, are your hands clean? Don't say, yes, my hands are clean, if there's upset and rancor and turmoil and bitterness and strife. Don't say, my hands are clean. You have need of cleansing so that you can take your part in the community of healing. The community, most of all, it provides a witness to that God is still in the house. I'm looking for that. I'm looking for spiritual healing, physical healing, mental healing, all kinds of healing, that God would still be in the house. That there's a noise in the house, that God is there. Thank you for your attention this morning. Let's stand.